Anyone remember the Greek word from last week? Matzo ball. Katartizo. And it means to equip. And this is the verse that we read out of last time, Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with everything good to do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That is this prophetic prayer that is still being prayed out and seen working in our lives. Was anyone encouraged by the definition of that last week? Man, that's what God has declared over your life. And so I thought today, we'll try to shorten it up a little bit if I can, but that's not possible sometimes because I'm not that good at doing that. I'm good at other things. I don't know. But we'll weave our way through some scriptures and see how does that happen. Like, here's the mandate. Here's the prayer that's been prayed. Do we see this word anywhere else? So this word, that word equip, the equip right there, may God equip us with everything good to do his will. That word equip is katartizo. Katartizo is kind of how it's pronounced. And it has in it the idea of equipping something or preparing it for future use. To equip means to furnish whatever qualities are necessary to perform the task at hand. To equip means to supply whatever is needed for an assigned purpose. How many want to be equipped? Yeah, doesn't that sound great? Man, that God is calling and leading us and giving us commandments and orders and purpose. And he doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just stop with the purpose. He doesn't just stop with the assignment. He then gives this prophetic prayer that he wants us to be equipped. And so we're going to do one more slide from last time. These are review slides so far. And it's the one where I took the verse and put all the words in yellow that are kind of the definition of this word katartizo. So it's the verse with those added definitions in it. Now may the God, this is in Hebrews 13, 20, may the God of peace make you sound and fit. May the God of peace mend you. May the God of peace repair you and restore you and fill you up with everything that is lacking. May the God of peace supply whatever is needed and put you in proper condition and complete you with everything good to do his will. Man, does that not sound like that's all wrapped up in that word katartizo. It's what that means. That's what the first century disciples would have heard. And they would have been like, whoa, that's a cool prayer. I like that. So, how does God equip us? We're going to look at, there's more than these three, but we're going to look at three main ways that the Word of God tells us that this is how God equips us. God equips us, number one, through his word. Well, that's kind of just plain. I know that. All right, well, let's see what the word of God has to say about this. It says in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, that all scripture, how much scripture? All scripture is God-breathed. It's this beautiful process of how the Holy Spirit animates people as they're writing with their own personality and their own experiences and yet are carried along by the Holy Spirit writing exactly what needs to be written so that this Word of God is now available to us in 2024. We're living in a time that we don't really understand. It's unprecedented to have all of God's word at our fingertips. To have a Bible in every home is mind-boggling. To have two Bibles, crazy. To have two Bibles and the Bible on your phone, insane. We have more access to the compiled word of God than anyone at any other time in history. So we should be the strongest, most vibrant church in history. Okay? But we have this now, this word of God, and it's useful. Say useful. Useful. I want to just challenge you on this for a second. I don't think that I have to convince you that the word of God is holy, right? We're all good on that. No one needs to be convinced on that. That the word of God is sometimes wise. We agree with that? That the word of God is from God. We agree with that? I think sometimes we get so bogged down with, oh, like, where should I be reading at? Or I got to get my devotions done. We forget that the Word of God is useful. Come on, church. If we really believed it, we wouldn't always live like we live with the Word of God just being a distant thought in our minds. It would be near and dear to our hearts, and we would grip it and explore it and have an adventure with the Word of God and let it change us and mold us and form us, because it's what? Useful. Say useful. It's useful. Well, it's useful for a pastor, because then he can tell us. No, the Word of God is useful for you. Look at your neighbor and say, for you. What is it useful for? It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be katartizo for every good work. Oh, wait, sorry. This is the one example. This is a cousin word. This is exartizo. Sound any, you see any similarities there? They're from the same word family. Exartizo. This is the only one that is a different than katartizo. But the translation is thoroughly equipped. Who wants to be thoroughly equipped? Yeah. Me. Sign me up. The phrase thoroughly furnished, thoroughly equipped is from the Greek word exartizo, which means to completely deck out or fully supply. It was used to depict a ship that had previously been ill-equipped for traveling. But because its owner had decked it out with new equipment and new gear, the ship had become thoroughly furnished to sail anywhere in the world. This boat was fully supplied, completely equipped, or thoroughly furnished. Some of you guys have sailed into the harbor, and just like we talked about the nets last time, some of your sails are torn, right? Some of your steering linkage is just a little loose, right? Your rudder's like no udder. Just, right? You got some holes in the stuff. Your food supply has run out. You need water to be out on the open seas. You can't be drinking seawater. Ooh, I never knew that. This is all kind of just, we're just ad-libbing now. I'm like, that should be like part of the fully equipped. Washing with the water of the word, right? You need fresh water. What kind of water do you need?
Fresh.
You need fresh water. The Israelites needed fresh manna. You need to be prepared to go out on the open seas. Come on. And so God wants you to be fully equipped. Exartizo, our one anomaly, but it's in the same family. This fully equipped, fully decked out. God wants to put in a new guidance system. Come on. God wants to repair your sails so that you can catch every wind of the Spirit that's blowing, and that you are energized, and that the name of Jesus is magnified in your life, and you're not dragging along like this every day, but that you are fully propped up in Him. He wants to repair your deck boards and your railings. Come on. He wants to give you new ropes, new nets, new sails, new steering wheels, fresh water, and fresh manna for your journey. He wants your ship to get equipped. I'm rhyming a lot today. Could be more. Feel like there's another one or two in there somewhere. Just haven't dug them out yet. And so now let's go back to the verse here. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. Wait a minute, no. What's the goal of this? What's the goal of the Word of God working in our life? It's to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if you want to be thoroughly equipped for every good work, how many just want to have more wisdom in every situation? How many want to hear from God? How many want to have the stamina of the Holy Spirit in you carrying through the week? How many of you want to have the joy of the Lord that's undefeatable? How many of you want to have hope that remains stiff and strengthened in the midst of every bad report? Pastor, when you say it like that, that sounds a lot better. Like, that's what I mean. And so that's the goal. That's what you need for every good work. If you're hopeless, how much good work for the Lord are you going to see accomplished? If your faith is fragile, how much good work are you going to see accomplished? If you're not joyful, no one wants your good work. because you're just sour. Yeah, the life of the world is just tanking you down. We need to be filled up and equipped for whatever good work it is. You need to be fully equipped. So that's the goal of this. So the goal is being fully equipped. Now let's go back to how does the Word of God do that? It teaches us. Part of your equipping might be something that you flat out need to learn. You just need to learn from the Word of God. We've learned so much, like in the last little bit here. I just every week I'm like, oh wow, I didn't know that. Help me apply that, Lord. Help me apply that. I didn't know that. So that's teaching. Rebuking or reproving. How many of you need to just stop some stuff? Sometimes we're doing things in our life that are hindering us from being fully equipped for the good works that the Lord wants us to do. And we get this challenge or this conviction from the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. God says, big red flag here. And we go, oh, okay. Well, let's not do that anymore then. Correcting. That's going the wrong direction, I'm not going like the wrong direction. I'm going west and I'm not going east, right? So I'm going the right direction. Yeah, but you're veering off northwest. And the Word of God is so good at giving us those nudges to get us back on track. Well, yeah, you did the thing, but you had a bad attitude when you did it. Well, at least I did it. Well, that's the Word of God's challenging us on our attitudes, challenging us on the space of our imagination and what kind of thoughts we're giving. You know, right? We could go on and on and on and on. These corrections. It's not a full-on rebuke. It's not a full-on conviction, but it's the Word of God adjusting our sails. Right? Sometimes we need to repent. That's a hard left. Those ships, you know, they kind of go up under, you know, those sailboats with the things that come out of the water and they got the guys leaning over them. Right? Sometimes we do that. We repent. But there's other times that the Word of God says you need about 3 degrees to the left. I feel like your heart's getting hard in this area, or I feel like you're having some wrong thoughts about this. Not full-blown repent, right? It's not full-blown that, but you need some correction. Thank God for correction. And then you will be fully equipped, because that's the goal, right? The goal is not to beat you down and tell you what a turd you are. The goal is to correct you and rebuke you and teach you so that you can be filled up with everything that you need for every good work. And the last thing is training in righteousness. Let me read this verse in one other version. In the NLT, it says, all scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true. Whew, we need that in 2024. And to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what's right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people. God uses it. God uses his word to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. All right. So the Word of God, katartizo and exartizo. What else does? Wait a minute. This was kind of bad. Now I think it's getting worse. Can we, is there any, could Pastor Gary come up and teach maybe? We get fully prepared, equipped, katartizo, reoriented, strengthened through trials. We're going to read a couple verses in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 6 through 8 says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand that he might lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, don't be surprised. He does what devils do. Okay? He's a little heads up here. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Don't give him, don't be the meal. Okay? Resist him. Hold on. Right here he says, that's what the devil's doing. We shouldn't be shocked that the devil's being the devil. Well, Pastor, the devil's just, well, that's what he does. He's faithful. That's what the devil does. But you, the very next word, resist. Hello. Resist. Say resist. Resist. Resist him. Standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the whole world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself katartizo you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. sometimes your trial is the seedbed for katartizo to flourish in your life. Your restoration comes from your trials. You know what we think comes from our trials? Oh, I don't want to be in this. And that's it. And sometimes God says, all right, gets us out of it. And then they have a meeting. You go, they didn't learn what they needed to learn. There's nothing to refresh in their heart. They didn't give me fresh areas of their heart, fresh yielding as they were hoping only in me. So we're going to circle them back around to another trial. Because here's the disappointing thing. God cares less about your comfort than he does about your growth. He's got a lot invested in you. Jesus has a lot. What more could Jesus give for you? In a week or so, we're celebrating whipped, beaten, bruised, mangled, cursed, spit upon, hated, jeered, mocked. Because he was so bad, he was sinless. Who did he do it for? He died for me. Oh, it's wonderful. Why did he die? That's a less wonderful question. The less wonderful question is he died because you are rotten to the core at times. But aren't you glad that Jesus died for our sins? And I think we want to continually remember the weight of that. It's the most beautiful. It's the gospel. It's from Genesis to Revelation. It's at the beginning of the world, God knew that he was going to sacrifice his only son for you. That we can be katartizoed. We can be restored. We can be healed. We can be mended up. And so, because he has so much invested in us, he'll let us go through trials so that that fire burns off some of the junk. So our dependence, we're so good in America, especially depending on our own selves, depending on, well, I'll just run to Amazon and grab another self-help book, right? Because I got this. Good. When we go through the trial, all of a sudden we realize there's only one to lean on. Everything else is failing. I need to lean on Jesus. Then God's like, all right. Father's like, now we can restore you. And then you'll be fully equipped to handle what you need to handle. Don't waste your trials. How many people are going to go through trials? Six of you? Like 80%? How many think it's like 100%? It's 100%. It was a trick question, guys. Come on. It's a trick question. We're all going through trials. You are promised by Jesus himself that there will be trials and tribulations. So you got them, and it's up to you how you use them. You're not getting out of them. It's like, Jesus, could I get the one path without the trials? Nope. Sorry. You don't get them. That's not an option. But you do have an option how you go through them. If you're leaning on the Lord, surrendering more of your heart, letting dross and junk get pulled off, and then after you've suffered for a little while, he himself will katartizo you, restore and equip and reorient and heal up and give you everything that you need for life and godliness. From these couple verses, I just made a quick list. This is just this is an added little nugget. This is not a whole message on trials, but what can we do if we're in the middle of a trial? From these scriptures right here. When you get in a trial, let's back up here. Humble yourself. See, these are right from the scripture. If you find yourself in the middle of a trial, sometimes we go through way too many trials because we don't even make it to point number one. Wow. I don't need to be going, I don't deserve this, and I don't deserve that. Wait a minute. You haven't even made it to step one. You know what Jesus does up there in heaven? All right, another trial next week. Let's see if they can make it to step two. I'm the guy. That's me. I get it. The second thing that these verses, go look them up for yourself, 1 Peter 5. Read the whole chapter. Go nuts. says, give Jesus your anxiety. If you're in the middle of a trial and you want to go through a trial well, do these things. So first of all, humble yourself. Whoa, God, this is hard. I can't handle this. I need you. If I've done dumb stuff, help me not do dumb stuff. Humble yourself. This is probably my fault. If it's not, rebuke me. Tell me it's not my fault, right? But just assume I've probably had something to do with this. And if not, he'll tell you. He'll let you know. But just start there. Start low. Go low. Let him lift you up, right? Not saying beat yourself up, but just say, whoa, if I've caused any of this, wow, I need you. God, I need you. I need you to help, right? And then give your anxiety to Jesus. Don't hang on to it. God, I'm so anxious about that. No, give it to him. Be alert and clear-minded, you know, sober-minded. Okay? Think through what needs to happen in the middle of this trial. Don't waste your trial. Think through what are you supposed to be growing in? What are you supposed to be learning? How are you supposed to be helping someone else? Resist the devil, right? We get really good at not humbling ourselves, hanging on to our anxiety, being all foggy-headed because we're not resisting the devil and we're just giving in and complaining about it. I'm just giving you my playbook here, so letting you know. Stand firm in your faith. Well, if you're going through what I was going through, you'd say it's hard to be faithful. Hey, come on. This is a command. Stand firm. God doesn't give us the command if he doesn't give us the power to carry it out. Stand firm. You can stand firm. Realize that you're not alone. That was a big key in there. It said, hey, your brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of thing. The biggest, one of the biggest tactics, we heard it at our marriage night. One of the biggest things is, hey, we stink and everyone else is perfect and whatever, whatever. Not true. Everyone else is struggling with the same kind of struggles. Realize you're not alone. And then God will catartizo you. He'll show up, repair, heal, fix, reorient. This is in the New King James. I love how this reads. May the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory. It's the same verse, 1 Peter 5:10. After you have suffered for a while, he'll perfect, that's that catartizo, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I like that a lot. All right. So I guess he helps us catartizo our life through his word, through trials, and what's the last one? One more. Through others. There's a repairing and a mending and a shaping and a healing and a reorienting and all those adjectives that we listed out that happens. You get catartizoed through others. Well, does the Bible say that? Yeah, glad you asked. Let me show you. He'll supply what is lacking. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and catartizo your faith. Supply what is lacking. The lack in your soul, I'm very confident that the Holy Spirit is dropping into the spirit of someone else in your sphere. We just need to be open and willing to listen. See, why when we're in a trial, very first thing you need to do is humble yourself. Very first thing you need to do when we're talking about catartizo, this healing and refreshing and reorienting and equipping that comes from others, first thing you need to do is humble yourself. Well, I know that. Well, then what? You know what? Stay there. You just stay right in the position that you're in and right in the mess that you're in and right in the funk that you're in and right in the poop pile that you're in. Because you know what? If you're not even willing to listen, then you don't get a ticket to come out. And that's harsh, but that's reality. We've got to humble our hearts and go, man, if I could go back, like I wouldn't do that. And we can't do that unless you've got a time machine in your shed. But if we could go back, Travis, I think if you get 93 cattle spinning at, is it 88.6 miles an hour? I think you go back 5 minutes. So you try that when you get home. That was a Back to the Future reference, but only with cattle instead of a DeLorean. If I could go back and change anything, again, I probably wouldn't, but I wish that I would have known. If there was one thing that I could have known, you know, other than, you know, just Jesus and the years that I was being rebellious or whatever, but if there was one tool that I could put in my tool belt is realizing how much I need people. One thing, hands down. It was hands down the biggest crippling effect on my life for years. Hands down. I had a good life, had a good ministry, effective, right? It was good. But man, I was operating at a 2 and I could have been operating at a 12 with others. And I didn't get it. Man, I didn't get it. There's still a lot of days that I don't get it. I didn't realize. I thought it was just about knowing stuff and whatever. Fill in the blanks. Man, you need people. You need other perspectives. You need people that you're tempted to think no less than you. You need to invite them into your circle and have conversations, because often you're like, whoa, I never thought about it like that. Wow, okay. And then you really get humbled. And you're like, God, forgive me. Arrogance has this amazing way of robbing us from every blessing that God wants to give us. So humble your hearts. And Paul was saying here that I want to supply what's lacking in your faith. Listen to this version. This verse in another version. I love this. This is going to be so good. You're going to like this. It's going to be good. No, I mean that. No, like it's really good because I like how they say it. So here we go. You ready? Because this is going to be good. It says, how we thank God for you, because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill the gaps in your faith. Oh, I like that. I just kept reading that verse again. I just kept reading it. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. If you guys want to be equipped, if you want that katartizo, you want your soul healed up and full and reoriented and your nets mended, right? If you want all that to happen in your life, you need someone to fill the gaps in your faith. Come on. Are you with me? But that's scary. My faith is a me and Jesus thing. Not so much. Not according to the Word of God, it isn't. According to you and American Jesus, it is. But not according to the Scripture. I don't like him very much when he says things like that. I just want to challenge you. Get people you trust. Start small, right? But start having conversations. Start letting people speak into your life. You don't have to do every single thing every person ever says to you, but you've got to be willing to listen. We've got to be willing to process. We've got to be willing to talk through things. It's going to fill the gaps in our faith. Hi, Callie. Go see your mom. There's a section here we're talking about being discipled by others. In Luke 6, 39 through 40, then Jesus gave the following illustration. Can a blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch? Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is katartizo will become like their teacher. So how does God katartizo, like Hebrews 13, how does God katartizo our life? Through the Word of God, through trials that we go through well, not just through any trials, but through the trials that we go through well, through inviting people to fill the gaps in our faith and being katartizo with someone who's a mentor in our life. So here's the question. Who's training you? It's the question from Jesus. When you get katartizo, fully mended, fully oriented, fully trained, right, then you'll be equipped with everything that you need for life. And that's the question that we hear all the time when people are hurting and not enough and lacking. I need more. And like, right? And that's what this word means. You'll be fully supplied. You'll be fully equipped. You'll have what you need. You'll have the joy you need. You'll have the hope that you need. You'll have the faith that you need. You'll have the wisdom that you need. You'll have the power that you need. But one of the ways that we get it is someone trains you. Who's training you? We've got a list of people that call this their church home. There's something like 160 people on it, 150 people. I don't know. Obviously, you don't all come every Sunday, but there are people that come to the church. I can't meet with 160 of you. I can't train all of you. I don't have that much time. I don't want to do that. Sounds like a lot of work. I want to train any of you that I can, you know, in whatever ways that I can. But I find people to train me. I have mentors in my own life because I want to experience katartizo from God. I want to experience that equipping, that fullness of everything that I need at all times. Find some mentors, some spiritual mentors, some people that will pour into your life. And you can have multiple ones. We get kind of freaked out. Like, is there a special ceremony, or do we have to light a candle? No. It's have lunch with someone and ask them questions. Be more interested in them than in yourself. That's the big problem. People want to meet, and then all they want to do is talk about themselves. Go see a therapist, or go talk online to somebody. I don't know, do something. But if you find a mentor, don't ruin it by talking about yourself the whole time. You shh, let them talk, because that's why you're there. Ask good questions. And if you pursue this, which I think 100% of you should, if you pursue this, figure out what you're going to ask. Don't sit for 12 hours and be like, I want a mentor, but I don't know what it, like, what's God stirring in your heart? What roadblocks do you have? Ask them, what are they good at? Why did you pick them? What are they doing? You've got such a great marriage. Have you ever had, get a list of 12 questions. They won't be scared by that because they're good. All right. How did you survive? Did you ever have rough spots in your marriage? How was it, you know, when your son was struggling? And you know what? Just ask them questions and then listen. And you'll get to experience katartizo, Jesus says. Amen. They can keep us accountable, steer us on the right path. We're just about done. Galatians 6:1 says this, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should katartizo that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may be tempted. There's a restoration that happens from the body of Christ being the body of Christ, arm in arm with people, being like, don't go that way. Right? Guys, you need to find some other guys. Go find a pickup truck. And then you both stand like this, side by side. Don't look at each other, because that's what guys do. Or you lean back, and you each look the other way. And you talk for about 12 minutes. And you say, hey, how are you doing? How's your family? How's your thought life? You looking at porn? Knock it off. I'm on a porn kick. Not for me. I got your attention though, didn't I? You watching online, pick up the coffee that you just spilled. It is ravaging our society. And so it's kind of a soapbox of mine because it's destroying lives. It's destroying marriages. It's destroying brains. It's rewiring. It's a chemical change that happens in your brain that rewires your brain like unlike anything else. It breaks you. You can be fixed, but it's a long process to walk out of how broken your physical brain gets. The neurons, I don't know how we got on that, but like you need people that can correct you, people that can come alongside of you, that can help hold you accountable. I'll just get in more trouble if I keep going off any of that. So let's go to the next slide. That's how we get katartizo, from people that care enough about us to say, man, you really want to yell at your wife out in public like that? Dude, you're better than that. Come on, man. You got this. Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have said that. Right? And then katartizo you. Help your. I'm right here with you. I'm not judging. I'm just like do bad. Like, let's do better. Help me to help you. You know what I mean? Find some people that can help do that in your life. So here's a different version of that. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly, man, there's that word again, help that person back on the right path. Katartizo. Get reoriented. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. I didn't put that in there. That's in the Bible. That's in the NLT version of the Bible. That's what we're called. We're called to this horizontal helping of one another. Humbly. Knowing that I could be sucked into this same sin at any second, but by the grace of God. So I want to help you, brother. I want to throw you a lifeline. How can I help you? Ladies, you can meet, but you sit face to face, looking at each other's eyes. Get in a little circle. Yes. Talk about everything and anything. Guys, just look away. Strive for restoration. This is, I think, our last couple slides here. 2 Corinthians 3:11 says, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Katartizo. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Here's a couple more versions. Finally, brothers, in the ESV, it says, aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Last ones. Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful. Grow to maturity. Katartizo. Encourage each other. Live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Those are three ways that we experience this equipping of God. By letting the Word of God examine us. By realizing in our trials that there's a purpose for this. And by inviting others into our space to speak into our lives and have conversations that are about more than just the weather. Right? And then we experience katartizo, that beautiful compilation of amazing things, mending your nets and equipping you and giving you everything that you need for life and godliness. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just bless this congregation today. I thank you that you're equipping us, that you have called us to a higher place, and we just say yes, God. Help us to follow through with the steps that you've given us in your word to see that flourishing in our lives happen. God, we don't want to be unequipped, ill-equipped. We want to be fully equipped. We just pray that would happen in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen.